greetings from Podcastville. The church of what's happening now is brought to you by hymns. Listen, with age comes wisdom, but getting older can also be a downer in one specific area. 40% of men by the age of 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. I'm not talking about nobody specifically, but you know who the hell you are. Why do guys turn to weird solutions that do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? Expensive pills, injections, when no one wants an injection. You don't need none of that stuff. That's where Uncle Joey comes in. 4hymns.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Listen, even if you don't need it, you might as well get one of these, just so you give a double the hammer. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to be remembered. That's what you need right there. After you make love, you won't have to even send a postcard. They'll remember you. Hims works real easy. Prescription solutions backed by science, and they're made more affordable. So do me a favor. Try Hims for a month for $5. You're like, Joey, what the hell are you talking about? $5! We'll get you started for just $5. While supplies last, prescription products are subject to doctor's approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if the prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information, all right? This could cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to a doctor in person and you're going to be embarrassed. No. Just go to 4hymns.com/church, C-H-U-R-C-H. That's 4hymns.com/church. The church is also brought to you by, you ready for this? So now you got your helmet in tip-top water, right? Now I got you some hymns and you got the helmet. Now you got to be a gentleman. Everybody wants to get their pole sucked, but it looks like a fucking, it looks like the Amazon jungle down there. Half of it is burning. Your balls got mold on it. I'm here to tell you, Uncle Joey's going to fucking help you out. The fall is coming. Put away the white fucking clothes, all right? It's time to fucking trim your fucking nutsack and the fucking tree, little lawn around the tree. My friends over at Manscaped created the one and only tool that you need to shave your balls and the area around your fucking pole of love. It's called the Lawnmower 2.0 for a reason. They threw away the 1.0 and they upgraded their trimmer with the Skin Safe technology. Now, the church listeners can get 20% off your first order when you use promo code CHURCH at manscaped.com. And if you order the perfect package, to also throw in a free travel bag when you use the code CHURCH. That's C-H-U-R-C-H. That's manscaped.com. Use promo code CHURCH for 20% off your first order and keep your fucking nutsack smelling tip-top fucking magoo. All right, Lee, kick this motherfucking mule. Oh, shit. We got Dan Cummings in the motherfucking house. We're not fucking around. Labor Day weekend, shave your nutsack. I bet you didn't get your dick sucked all night, all summer. You know why? Because it smelled like dick down there. It's fucking Labor Day, bitches. I got Dan Cummings. I got the Christ Killer. And your Uncle Joey's here, motherfuckers. What's up, DC?
Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me.
Can you imagine this band should have showed up at the VMAs and just blew them?
Oh, my God.
Everybody's torturing the fucking, like, the attendant. Nobody wants to watch that shit no more.
Chris Cornell, his voice was just one of a kind.
If Chris Cornell showed up with Soundgarden at the VMAs on Sunday, poor Miley Cyrus. She was the only good act. Miley Cyrus was the only one that brought Everybody else is up there jumping up and down. Those Chinese kids with blonde hair. I've never seen those fucking little communists before. Jumping around.
I didn't watch it.
Selling out stadiums and shit. Pink hair. What the fuck? Where'd they come from?
I think they're Korean.
Whatever the fuck they are. Those are the 12 kids that were stuck in the cave. They gave 5 of them a record contract and shit. Those are the 12 kids, I guarantee. Where'd they come from? I didn't even know these little Chinese kids were jumping up and down.
Oh, yeah. They're huge.
Where the fuck do these... How old
K-pop?
Am I?
K-pop?
Yeah, that is I'm pretty sure.
How old am I? I don't even know nobody. I knew Miley Cyrus, the other skinny whore. I don't like her at all.
Who?
The skinny whore.
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch
the skinny whore. The one they... She's trying to get her music back.
Britney?
No.
I feel bad throwing out... Is it Taylor?
Taylor Swift, yeah. Oh. She's a skinny whore.
My wife's not a big fan of Taylor Swift either.
No, I care less, but I'm just saying. She's a fucking whore with that skinny little pussy writing songs. And she looks like she can't. She looks like she could suck a good dick. Taylor's got to look like she'll mop that dick up after you manscape your helmet. She'll suck that motherfucker. But she's got like a little tiny pussy like Kate Quigley. Like, you know, like Kate Quigley's got a great ass, but her pussy looks like she needs to grow a bush to fill it in like a bumper. Like a bumper. It goes down. I don't like pussies that go down. That means you got no meat there. You got to have some fucking meat that I can bite into like jaws. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like a healthy labia.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about. It's good to see you, though, my brother.
Good to see you,
man.
Not
like Taylor Swift. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't watch the VMA. But I'm the same way. Like,
I watched it because of Sebastian.
Right. I was on a flight.
Support the poor kid.
But yeah.
And he was great. I mean, listen, when somebody calls you up, all I read about the last 2 days is criticism of Dave Chappelle and the criticism of Sebastian, how bad the VMA is. Well, listen, the VMAs are bad every fucking year.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just kids, whatever the fuck they are. But Sebastian was great. For anybody who's a comic, you have no idea what it's like.
Yeah. And the handcuffs that are put on you in that situation.
You have no idea. So before you open your mouth about Sebastian, fucking jump through a glass window and see what it feels like. See what it feels like and then get back to
it. You know, I didn't hear about like the Chappelle thing, but I did read just the other day. What was it? I feel bad. I'm worse with names. I've never just met him personally, but the Saturday Night Live, young Pete... Oh my God! Not even it's
Davidson.
Yeah.
Yes, Davidson. He. There was some article about him I was reading just yesterday, and I was outraged about the writer of the article, and also of the campus. But he did a college show, and he just called them entitled assholes, and went on a rant, and then the college like went off on him about how unprofessional and how terrible. Oh, wow. And any comic who's done college gigs, it's like no, they were fucking entitled assholes, probably on their phone being pieces of shit. And then it's just sad that the college can't, like, take responsibility for their own students being dickheads and just go the easy route of just being like, oh, my God, he ruined everybody's night by saying some horrible things about our beloved students. But, yeah, people just like to pick on comics.
I mean,
like,
the nicest guy in comedy made a statement 18 months ago. He's the nicest, cleanest comic of all time, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And this guy made a public statement that said you could not pay him enough to do a college.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And you have to think about that. Now, I know a lot of college kids come to my shows.
Right.
I have no problems when you come to my show. But I know if I went to the University of Notre Dame and did my act, I would get things thrown at me.
Because it's the wrong kids coming to those shows. Like, there's awesome kids at those campuses.
At those campuses.
But the ones who aren't fucking partying on a Friday night, who want to come to the, where they're not selling alcohol, not that you have to have, but you know what I mean? Like, that type of student, they tend to be more outraged, in my opinion, because I used to do tons of colleges. And I'm like, I know that there's people here who would love what's happening, but not these fuckers, you know, that came tonight. And then the administrators are the ones that get me. I only did one in the last 2 years, but I told them, I'm like, I get to say whatever I want. No censorship at all. And they let me do that, and it was a blast.
Did they take the ride, the kids?
They did, because I went hard at the beginning, extra hard.
Just to let them know. Who's running shit.
Right. There was some picture of their founder of their college, and I just fucking reamed about what a creepy-ass looking lady she would look like, and she's fucking torturing kids in her fucking basement on some pedo island. But she looked fucking creepy. And then they were, like, shocked at first, and then they loosened up, and then we had a great time. And because I had that freedom. But like you're talking about the handcuffs, you know, like Sebastian's like a lot of these people don't understand. They're told you can't say this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And it's like they just take all of your arsenal away from you and then want you to go to battle. And it's like, I got no weapons.
Sebastian was great.
Yeah.
Whether he's my friend or not, I thought he was great. Listen, I watch those shows because we're all together. We're all connected.
Yeah.
And if, when one of us rises, we all rise.
Yeah, brings comedy up.
We all rise up. You know, it's like in anything. This is how you have to look at it.
Yeah.
If you want to succeed in any field, you have to be happy, sincerely happy for the people around you, the people that you came up with.
Right.
If you hold any type of anger or issues, you're just not going to grow.
Yeah. God, it's like, this is like
my
wife and I've been talking about this all day. This is like a theme today.
You know why? Because for a while, when you get here and things aren't happening,
right,
you fall into that. Why are things happening for Dan? I get more spots here. I'm funnier here. And at the end, you're supposed to be all hand in hand.
Yeah.
And it really isn't like that. I wish that all comedians could hold each other hand in hands around the world.
Yeah,
it would never happen but that's why the world is the world. But as long as we have a little circle.
Yeah.
Like I have my little circle.
Yeah.
And we'll hold hands to the death. That's the way it is.
That's awesome.
The day we started, you know. Me and Josh Wolf, we know each other from day one.
I
got no choice but to have his back.
Yeah.
You know, Brody. It was a huge kick in my stomach, especially for me, because I knew him for 20 years. I should have been checking on him more. What the fuck was wrong with me? You know, we're a family. When I sit there and the first thing I read on Twitter on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning from Viceland is how bad fucking... Chappelle's show is, I think to myself, Viceland, first off, I love what you're trying to do, but have you watched your fucking show lately? That show about eating weed with those three little half a fags you got on there? That is the worst fucking show I've ever seen in my goddamn life. You know, I did an episode of Danny Brown. It was great. I love the Danny Brown show.
Awesome, yeah.
Weed has some great drug shows, but fucking 50% of your shit is totally fucking garbage. So for you to put down Chappelle, before you put down Chappelle, go clean up your own fucking backyard, especially with that fucking weed show you got, that weed culture with those three little half a fags that never smoked a bong in their life. You get me, I'll get some three hard-hitting niggas, just like fucking he said in Pulp Fiction. What did Ving Rhames say? I'll get some hard-hitting niggas, and we'll do that weed fucking show, and you'll show you what a weed culture is. They did Cuban food. I wouldn't even eat that Cuban food. Never mind. I wouldn't eat that Cuban food if you had gold in it. The shit they made. They're fucking terrible, that weed culture show. Yeah. It's the worst show I've ever seen in my fucking life. Are you angry because Dave didn't do it? That's the only reason why.
What are they shitting on? I didn't hear this article. What did Dave do? Like, what show? His new stand-up act?
He did a new special called Sticks and Stones.
What, is that out already?
It came out two nights ago.
Oh, shit. I haven't even seen
it. And I'm sitting there the other night going, you know what, man? I think that it came out too quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe Dave didn't prepare his material. Oh, my God. Was I wrong?
He's fucking murdered.
He murders it.
Yeah.
I thought Anthony Jeselnik had the special of the year until I watched Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm like, Anthony, I love you to death, but holy shit, Dave Chappelle's special was fire.
Wow.
And I watched the first 45 minutes. That's a lot for Uncle Joey.
Right.
I took the first pee smoke break at 45 minutes. That's fucking good. That's been years since I've sat and watched a special after 25 minutes.
Yeah, I got to see that. I saw the previous three, but that's great. Well, now I know what I got to watch.
It's just so weird that we live in this.
Where do you record it at?
Atlanta. And he says bit in there about, I'm going to do an impersonation. You know, in 25 years, you're going to do it. And he goes, I'm talking about you guys. And he just pointed to all the little niches we have in our society now, you know. About how people come back and attack you after 20 years.
Oh, right.
Goes, Michael Jackson's been dead for 10 years and he's got two court cases. So how the fuck does this happen, you know? And it's true. The other day I'm sitting there and I'm like, two more accusers have come up in the case. There's a chiropractor at the University of Michigan or something.
He's been dead
for 10 years. And now you want to come out? Go home. Go home. Go waste your time. Go to church. Go hang out with some of those pedophile priest kids and go talk about your issues. Leave these fucking people. The guy's been dead for fucking 20 years. Now you want to come out and say why he was touching your foot, he fingered you? Go fuck yourself. This is which way. You can't even give those people light.
Yeah, the
you
outrage.
You gotta tell those people to go away. Like, listen.
What kills me is when it's not even something that major that happened 20 years. Like when somebody tweeted the lyrics of a song that had like racist language, and they're an athlete now, and then now they come back and be like, and then the person goes and cries, does an apology. I wish more people would just be like, no, fuck. Oh, yeah, I was fucking 15. It was my song, you know, the song I liked or whatever, or I said something or whatever. I was 15 and I said some dumb shit like all 15-year-olds do. Go fuck yourself. Like, it makes me upset when they actually do the press conference apologies. I wish more people would say, no, I'm not going to apologize for what I said. I don't owe you that.
That's what
I don't owe you an apology from 15 years ago.
That's what Fucko lost. The chick who pulled the head up for Trump.
Oh,
when she apologized, that's when she lost.
Kathy Griffin.
Yes, yes, yes. That's right. That's right.
You never apologize. I said it. If you
I thought
like
it was funny.
If you don't like it, throw the albums away. In fact, go on TV and burn those albums. I dare you, because I'm going to sell a million more.
Yeah.
Remember when they did the Quiet Riot? Didn't they do that to one of those bands? They took their albums and they smashed them?
Yeah.
No, the Black Dudes.
NWA.
Two Live Crew, NWA.
Oh, that remember was the they Gore, were, Tipper Gore, all that kind of outrage.
Yeah, remember when they said to Ice Cube, look at them, they're burning our albums. And he goes, I don't care, they paid for them.
Bad press is good press.
Yeah. You know, I mean, today an article came out from Variety.
Yeah, I read that.
That said, it didn't really meant, did it say something about Sebastian?
Oh, the whole thing was, I used to love you, Sebastian, but the VMAs were a safe space until you came on.
A safe space?
And the thing that upset me and that I stopped reading the article was she was like, I used to love watching the VMAs and I'm a fan of you, but people get triggered. And then she spent like three or four paragraphs talking about her organization for safe spaces. And I'm like, oh, you're just trying to get, you have nothing against Sebastian. You just want to get a little bit of notoriety for your thing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stop reading this now. But the headline is, Sebastian ruined the VMAs. It's not a safe space anymore.
That's why, and I know, I hope that Sebastian's management, I know they did. They got a tremendous envelope for him because when you do those things, you're going to lose. if you get George Burns and pull him out of the grave, Abbott and Costello and pull him out of the grave, pull out all the great comics out of the grave and have them write an hour for you, and you do the Oscars, guess what? You're still going to get some form of hatred.
Yeah.
If you host the Emmys, you're going to get some form of hatred.
Oh, yeah.
If you host whatever. So the formula is, since you're going to hate me, you got to pay me everything. I want the whole cash register.
Yeah.
I want the door. I want the leftover vodka. I want the leftover hors d'oeuvres. I'm fucking the help. You know what I'm saying?
People hate
I want a hand job from Ariana Grande. I mean, I'm just going off. Yeah. My writer is fucking 20 pages. Because you're gonna get tormented after that. It's just a huge
and meaningless torment. Like I look at like on iTunes. What I like to do is you get mad about trolls or whatever. There is not a single album that has ever been made of note that got a lot of exposure that's only 5 stars. You can look at like the greatest, the Stones, Exile on Main Street, whatever you want to find out there. They're like, this is a fucking beautiful, amazing album. And you're going to find some 1 star. Well, fucking kids really didn't appreciate this. I mean, people just want to hate. You're just going to find. And I would hope Sebastian's looking at like, he just got seen by so many new people that, of course, since they weren't part of his fan base initially, it's like the more people who hate you, that's almost like the better because you're just reaching so many new people. And the ones who don't hate you, they're just not going to say, they're not going to go online. It's just the way human nature is and talk about how much they love you. So I would hope that for every person that's given like backlash, he knows that there are thousands who are just like, that guy's fucking great. And they're going to come see him. They're going to buy his stuff. They're going to come to his shows. Yeah.
YouTube kind of changed recently on the content side, on like when you actually post stuff, and it actually used to show you how many likes and dislikes you had, and sometimes like you look at the dislikes, you're like, oh, that kind of sucks. Why did that? But now what it does is it actually shows you the percentage of likes versus dislikes.
Oh, okay, and so
it's
you feel good.
Like it's 97-95% likes. You're like, oh, okay, then I guess
it feels way better.
Yeah, you're like, okay,
but you gotta understand one thing when you post up, and I learned this 6 or 7, I stopped paying attention to what anybody really said on the internet years ago.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll say something back to them to throw them off.
Right.
And sometimes you realize people just say something nasty to you So you could just tell them off, and then yeah. they'll disappear. They'll quit Twitter. It's yeah. hysterical. How many people have told their mothers to suck my dick? And they don't even say nothing. But I really learned a lot. A couple months ago, what video hit 1 billion downloads? It was a November Rain. Remember, they made a big deal about it. November Rain, first video ever on YouTube to hit a
Guns N' Roses?
Yeah.
November Rain hit 1 billion?
1 billion wow. views or something. And I went on there. I think it was 1 billion. I don't know exactly what the number was. And I went on there, and they still had 150,000 hates.
Right.
Then go to the Beatles' White Album.
Yes.
And go see one of the greatest albums ever put on vinyl and watch the percentage of thumbs down.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I go, I wonder who would give the Beatles White Album the thumb down. So you have to start thinking about this whole process of who has the time.
Right.
When somebody writes something or has an article, I really don't have the time.
Right, because you're busy creating, you're doing things.
To write stuff.
So yeah.
You have to think about all those considerations before you let those comments online affect you.
Yeah.
I'm sure people like Sebastian are either off, you know, I mean, you really cannot get in fact. I never read the comments on my special.
Right.
I knew that I felt in my heart the job I did wasn't who I was, so I let it go on the plane ride home.
Yeah.
It just didn't go in my favor this time. You know what I'm saying? I rolled the 6 and I rolled the 7, and that's just the way life is sometimes. I just got it like Sebastian said at the end of his monologue. If you don't win this year, work harder next year.
Right,
you
know? Right.
Well, true, like you just said, Chappelle had the best special of the year. He doesn't have a website. He doesn't have any social media. None of them. So it shows you what's really important.
Yeah, he's focused on the craft.
Nothing.
He has no Twitter?
No, he doesn't do any of that stuff. He says it's mystique, the Chappelle mystique.
How does he sell out 18 shows? How do people know?
Just fucking word of mouth. It's crazy. He has no social media. He used to call. I mean, 4 or 5 years after the Chappelle show went away, Comedy Works in Denver and Punchline in San Francisco, he would just call them up like on a Monday night and be like, "Hey, I want to do Tuesday and Wednesday show each night," and they would just send it out to their email list or whatever on their stuff, and they would be sold out in minutes, you know. And it's just like, he doesn't do any of that. Nothing. It's amazing.
So no website.
Nothing.
No DaveChappelle.com.
No. Nope. He might own it, but there's nothing out there.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, he doesn't do any of that.
Let me double check.
If it's out there, it's brand new. Because I checked in the past just because I was amazed too. And I'm like, what? No social media profile?
It says, please come back later.
There's nothing. It's amazing. You know, I stopped looking. I remember a couple years ago with YouTube. Something went up. It was this. This is not happening. That story, and they told me to promote it when it went out. So I just wanted to make sure that it was, because I don't generally look at the YouTube anyway, as far as comments. But I just wanted to make sure that before I'm tweeting or whatever, posting that it's actually there. That I'm sending a link to a real video. And first comment that was left was some guy. He said something to the effect of, Dan Cummins is the worst comic of all time. I hate every bit he's ever done. I hate it when I hear him on Pandora. And what cracked me up, I started laughing because I'm like, let me get this straight. I'm the comic you fucking hate more than anybody else on earth. And the second a new video of mine comes out, you're like, let me fucking check this out. It's like, you're just an idiot. You're an idiot. Like, your opinion means nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just that troll nature. They just want to think it. You know, it's rare that you see a feedback on there where you're like, it's constructive in any way. You know, I think he's given a good effort, but really, you know, I think, you know, he could have maybe just kind of shortened this, and maybe if he actually tried and worked on his timing, it's just never like, fucking sucks, fucking piece of shit. Just dumb, vapid hate.
It's crazy to me that who would raise a child that would be that devious to go out of their way, make up a different email, go to Twitter. Like, I always think about where their life is at.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, if Dan Cummings wants to say, Joey, I saw your last special, I wasn't happy with it, I could go, Dan, guess what? Neither was I, you know? But when I go back to your website and your Twitter or your Facebook and there's no picture, and there's a picture of, like, a Russian girl that you could tell it's not you.
Right.
And you know it's a fake website.
Right. They don't even have the balls to put themselves out there.
I think about them. I think about what their life is like.
Yep.
I think about all, it's like when I was a fucking junkie and a thief. All the time I put into scamming, if I would have put into something positive,
right,
I could have done something positive. You're doing something that's halfway positive.
Yeah, yeah.
You're actually getting, you're figuring something right out, but you're figuring it out for the wrong way, like for the wrong thing. If you figured this much yeah out and you use this in a positive way, the answer that you're looking for,
yeah,
would you yeah be happy?
Oh my God, I'm thinking, I won't say his name. I won't say his name, but he's describing the person we've had a problem with. Like there is, like you said, like, oh, what is going on in this person's life? I know a person that I worked with him years ago in a little way. It didn't work out. We worked on a few projects together, and not even like a bad falling out. Just, you know, like in LA, you work tons of collaborations.
And sometimes people just disappear.
Right, and you put pitches together.
One
and you
day
go,
they
right
disappear.
And this guy, it didn't work out. Parted ways. Really don't see him for a long, long time. And then a similar project comes, not, but it was about me. Basically, it was like he was going to do a project about me. Didn't work out. Some other people want to do a project about the podcasts I've been doing now. So about me, but different. And again, it's my life. Like no one gets the rights to your life in perpetuity for the whole rest of your life. So this guy finds out, not going to work with him again. And it's been 10 years since he's, and I know this person's, they're not in a good place. Things haven't worked out for 10 years. They're angry. They're frustrated. You look at their other content. This person in particular mooched off their family, but then shit talked them all the time too. Just an angry person, not getting what they want in the world, but not doing dick about it in a positive way. Just fucking hating. And then now that person's exactly that person who creates fake aliases to threaten and harass me and my wife, you know, like that, you know, just, and I'm like, and I think of him now when I see other troll comments on the web. I'm like, I know you. I know you. This is you. This isn't about me. All the shit you're saying when you're that angry, it's about you. You know, that person is so fucking miserable and unhappy with their life that it would be hard to step back and take, you know, some fucking responsibility and be a man and be like, you know what? I made some fucking terrible choices. I was lazy. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. That takes some balls. That takes some like self-awareness, some painful self-reflection. Much easier to be like, man, everybody's just trying to fuck me over and the world fucking sucks. And everybody who gets ahead, they're a piece of shit because they fucked over other people to do that. So fuck you and fuck that person. Like, so those opinions mean nothing to me because I just think about this one person. I'm like, oh, you're just a version of this dude.
One person.
Yep. I'm like, I know you. I know who you are.
And I know that person well because I was that person at one time.
Yeah, I was an angry youth when I was a teenager.
I was angry,
yeah,
frustrated. Yeah. There was things I wanted I couldn't get. I couldn't figure out how to get.
Right.
And right away you turned anger on the fucking world. And it's not the world's fault, bitch.
Right.
What did you do this morning between 8 and 10?
Oh, yeah.
You sat there and watched the Game is Right. What's the name of that match
Price
game?
Right.
The Price is Right.
The Price
is Right.
Oh, yeah.
Were
yeah
you out
yeah
looking for a job? Were you writing? Right. Did right you do any of these things? No. You wanted yeah to watch The Price is Right.
Yeah.
So now go watch The Price is fucking Right.
Right,
when
right
you wake up at 8 and you really, really in your heart feel that you worked that day.
Yeah.
After a year of doing that, you won't be frustrated.
Right.
If you're frustrated is because you're just not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it's a, if you've been frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, Dan, I got you by 20 years. And it's so weird what you start thinking about in your 50s.
Yeah.
Now you start thinking about the manifestation of feelings that you've had in your life. Like I'm writing a book. I'm trying to
that's
write
awesome
a book.
That's awesome. I'll be buying it.
The manifestation. You start understanding the manifestations that you went through from certain ages. It's fucking scary. And you don't feel like they're part of your life. You feel like they were part of another life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You feel like there was a deja vu. You feel all these things. You feel guilt. You feel all these feelings because you see the manifestations of things. You know, my dad died when I was 3. There was an insecurity and then the immigrant thing. That turned into a different insecurity manifestation in New York. Can't speak English. Oh, yay, hello, you know, look at Spick Boy, you know. And then I got wheels in Jersey and I started going, but those feelings were still there. And then your mother dies. And
right.
You're a Catholic and you really, really believe in God and you really believe in the Holy Ghost and you really believe and you've tried to do everything right until that age. And now you question God, and now you're fucking killing cats. You're running over pigeons. You know, you see a mouse, you step on it. There's a certain anger you get. And then like I look at my life yeah. and it went from sorrow to became anger to became fury.
Yeah.
Fury. Fury's when there's a homeless guy on the corner and you just run up to him and kick him in the fucking head for no reason while he's sleeping. Not that I kick the homeless guy in the head. I'm just saying
yeah, yeah.
I know what it's like
yeah.
to see somebody and go, I want to just stab that person.
Right.
They didn't do anything to you. And we see it every day in the news.
Yeah.
Somebody gets killed, but that's somebody who's going, that's somebody that that manifestation went to fury. Then I got happy. Then I went to prison. And actually going to prison
yeah.
kind of made me happy because it slowed everything down. It let me process all those manifestations. Then I went out into the real world and got yeah. married. Then I got divorced. Then I lost a child. And now you're angry again. Then I had comedy. So right. the anger manifested. It would manifest for 23 hours except for the 1 hour a day I did comedy. I would be happy because it would, yeah. you know, so you start looking at the manifestations of your feelings and how you just go. So when I see these people that write a negative comment or fuck you in your podcast,
right.
you know what, man? There's 1,000 things I don't like. There's 1,000 things I don't like, but I don't have the balls to go on Twitter and go, hey, I don't like your podcast. I just don't have the balls. I know that that person's trying very hard. I know that
right.
whatever.
You, yeah,
just keep an opinion to yourself. You don't
right.
like it, turn it off.
Yeah.
Turn on the next one.
That's what I used to tell. I had one moment with a heckler years ago, and it's the only it's the only time this works this way. But this guy, he came in, I don't know, he came in late to the show. Everybody else having fun, and he didn't like it. And, you know, he was just causing problems. So, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. I'm like, dude, what's going on, man? What's with you? Yeah, you're not funny. And I just stopped. I'm like, you know what, man? I'm like, everyone was having a good time here. I'm like, you're not having a good time. I'm like, you know what I do when I'm not having a good time at like a movie or someplace? I fucking leave. You remember when you came in here and they nailed your ass to the seat and they told you they'd fucking execute you if you tried to leave early? Nah, that never happened. You could just walk away right now. Then you get to go do something that you like. I get it. I'm like, I don't think I'm funny all the time. Like, there's plenty of things I don't think is funny. I'm like, I don't have to be for everybody. I don't need to be for you. But you don't have to be here. And it was like a little light bulb. He just kind of, and he fucking got up and he left. And I just wish more people could, 'cause that same thing. There's plenty of stuff that I don't like, but then I just don't look at it anymore.
I can't tell you how
I don't
many
watch
movies
it anymore.
I went in the 80s and got up and walked.
Yeah, I've walked out of a theater. Exactly. I'm like, eh.
And never said a
I'm
word.
Not going to waste another hour.
Never. I boycotted Tom Hanks.
You boycotted Tom Hanks?
For years when he cried at the Oscars. When he won for Philadelphia with the spots on his neck and shit and. He won. I boycotted him. Marlon Brando sent an Indian when he won the fucking Godfather.
Right, right.
He didn't fucking cry on the Oscars. You're going to cry on the... I boycotted Tom Hanks for about 8 years. It took me...
Yeah, what's that? The only person...
And I didn't tell nobody.
I was going to say, it's an own personal boycott.
I didn't go online and boycott
yeah, sure,
Tom
sure,
Hanks.
Sure.
I didn't have a petition signed.
What brought you back? What brought you back to...
League of Their Own. League of Their Own brought me back.
On a provisional okay. basis.
He knows I got quirks. I will boycott your ass. I will boycott your ass for 60 to 90 to 100. I see something negative behavior on your part. I will boycott your ass off my
it.
Television set.
Thank you, Shauna.
There was somebody else I boycotted. I boycotted a couple people in my time just for different fucking acts,
right.
singing a song, comics. I'll boycott a comic.
Sure, right, yeah.
Like there was one comic I knew and loved for 20 years. He had an opening joke that was funny 20 years ago. And he got a shot at a TV spot.
Yeah.
And he did the joke.
The old joke.
Boy Scott. I blocked his phone. Don't even call no more, cocksucker. I bumped into him. He's like, did you change your number? I didn't even talk to him. I acted like a mute. Boycotted him for 6 months and kept it to the six-month date. Like, I put it in a book. Like, I'll put it in a book.
I picture, like, a board.
Boycotted until like, February 12th of fucking 2020.
I picture, like, printed out little pictures of the people that you boycott, and you fucking stick them on the board. You got a date under it.
Boycotted.
I
go
yeah.
to a restaurant. I see fingerprints on the glass. When you push the glass in, that means you didn't wash your pussy. That means you don't. If you can't wipe the glass down, if 8 employees are there, and they can't wipe the glass, if there's
right.
10 cents of fingerprints, that means you guys don't wash your hands after you pee. And
yeah,
after
yeah,
women
yeah, yeah.
Here don't
oh,
watch,
yeah.
And after women here don't watch their snatch, after one of these Mexican busboys shoots a load of fucking pimiento in their pussies, they don't wash them. So I don't want to do business with you. That's it. It's that easy. And I refuse to go back in there. And yeah. people go, Joey, but they don't clean the glass.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I boycott certain. Like, if you eat ranch dressing, you can't sit at the table. I love you to death, but go over there with your friends. And when you're finished, then fucking you come back over here.
Now I just picture like Tom Hanks eating some fucking ranch in a movie. When you're finished, you want sticking him back on the
you
boards.
You want to eat ranch? Go over there. You want to eat hummus? Go over there with your friends. Don't sit at this table. Because I am not a dog.
I feel like he's talking to you, Lee, at the end.
I know he is.
Hummus.
I've been boycotted a few times.
He's
I know.
He's boycotted. I boycotted. He knows he can eat hummus and I don't see him. If I ever see him put a chip and hummus in front of me, like I never did coke in front of Joe Rogan.
Slap him out of the chair.
I never would do coke around Joe Rogan. I knew he loved me that much and it bothered him in his soul to see me coked up.
Yeah, so you just.
So when he was around, no matter how bad I wanted to do a line, no matter how much coke I had in my pocket, I would not do it out of respect. That's how I was raised. I think he only caught me twice doing coke, and I didn't even make eye contact with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I knew I would let him down.
Now Lee has that hummus respect for you.
I help people out. Some comics have come in here with like snacks.
And you're like,
and they're eating hummus. I'm like, trust me, it's not worth it. It's just.
Oh, no, I won't. I used to have a friend that used to. That's what he used to call it, 86 in you.
Yeah, yeah.
I 68, because he's Armenian.
Oh. Armenian. I 68, you.
So I go, you don't sound coke no more. I 68, him. I mean, you mean 86. 86.
86 and 68.
68, 86. You know what I mean. I say 86. When he told me one time, I said, Eric, is because the guy I was looking for was Eric. I go, Eric is looking for you. He goes, no, I 86, Eric.
Yeah.
He cannot buy cocaine from me no more. I go, damn. You're a cold-blooded motherfucker like your Uncle Joey. Yeah, I'll boycott people. I love it. Personal boycotts.
I have my own thing. Not a ton of people, but there's definitely been a... coming up more like in comedy I started to worry about like meeting some of the acts I admired or whatever. Because my thing was always, is just, are they a nice person? And I know like a nice person can have an off day and be grouchy, whatever. But then there's sometimes when people just do things that are just like dick moves. And I won't say his name, you know, either, but there was one guy I worked with, you know, a long time ago, but he pretended that the college I was working at with him, opening up for him, he acted like the kids told him to tell me to cut some jokes out of my act and to cut my time. And I went to them later. It turns out it was not true at all. He just didn't like it. And he wanted to kind of like, he just didn't like, and this isn't cocky at all. He didn't like that I did well, even though he did better than me. Like he had nothing to be insecure about. And I just thought, man, this is somebody who is, you know, selling out theaters already at this point. And I'm like, you're going to, I was just, you know, I drove up my Hyundai fucking hatchback, you know, I'm used to making $100 a night and stuff like that. And you're going to take what little thing I have just to have fun on stage for 15 minutes away from me? Because you didn't like that guy. I threw away his fucking albums. Never listened to him since. Like I boycotted him for 15 plus years. But I'm just like, fuck you, you fucking asshole. Like that's the bully type thing. People who use power, that's the stuff where
that
I'm like,
you're crazy.
Yeah, you're dead to me.
When I was a feature act, I had a lot of problems as a feature.
Just people couldn't follow you?
I had a lot of problems.
And then they talk shit about you?
Especially the Omnipop crew.
Oh, yeah. Man, oh, my God. They've been gone.
To eat those motherfuckers alive because Omnipop had a good booker at the time, but he was taking feature acts. And trying to make them into headline.
Yeah.
A lot of them are still around today. And
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I would go on those B-room routes and they'd have to follow me and I would light them on fire. And I would light them on fire, you know, 20 minutes, no responsibilities. You're a dead man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got a package in my pocket. I've been talking to one of the waitresses. She likes to suck dick. You're done. You're done, you know.
Yeah.
But Omnipop was putting out, you know, too many of these feature acts. And
right.
I'm old school. I'm very old school. And here's the rule I have. You want MC, you got it. You want a feature, you got it. But once you consider yourself a headliner, I don't want to hear one complaint out of your mouth. I don't want to hear that Dan Cummings talks to the audience.
Oh, right.
I don't
want
to hear that Dan Cummings is too dirty.
Right.
I don't want to hear that Dan Cummings, once you sign that contract, the headline, if Dan Cummings comes out and says with a drum roll and takes his pants off and takes a flare
Right.
And sticks it in his ass and does a half hour of playing the drums with a flare.
It's fucking solid closer.
I better figure out how to, you know, who's going to follow that? Fucking Jesus can't follow. If I went on stage, ripped my pants off, suck a flare up my ass with Vaseline, without saying a word, like, I'm not even going to do a presentation.
A lit flare.
And just went, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, took my pants off,
put
a flare in my ass,
lit
it on fire, and then started playing the snare drums for 20 minutes until you heard this.
Right. The fire department. No one follows that.
What comic would want to follow that? They couldn't.
You'd have to have your dick do your act to follow that. Your dick would have to talk.
No, you'd have to go on stage and go, oh, ready for this one? Get a fucking, what do you think? A meat tenderizer and just hit your dick like 10 times to beat that act. That's it. Just slam it. Bow. Who runs this motherfucker? I do. Whose house is this? Ho's house. What's that expression? I don't know. Whatever the fuck movie it is, he hit himself. But I would, you know, nothing bothered me more. I got 10 comics that would go to management.
And complain.
Behind my back that they would. I had one guy that told me I couldn't improvise. I couldn't talk to the audience. And I couldn't be dirty.
Oh, my God.
And I finally turned to him on Friday and told him exactly how I felt.
Good for you.
And if he didn't like it, to fucking quit. And if we wanted to throw hands, let's do it. Until this day, he's never spoken to me again. And I could care less. I've had...
Yeah?
I've had comics that have tried to get me in trouble during the week. They didn't think I knew. But I... I bumped into one the other night before I brought him on stage.
Oh, wow. That's a walk. Yeah.
I actually mentioned it because you know how I work.
You mentioned it on stage?
Before you brought him up on stage, right?
Last time I saw this guy. it made me, it just made me think that when, if I ever got to that level, I would never act that way.
And I am proud that I
am proud.
Yeah,
of that.
I've never asked somebody to change anything about their act. I've never told a club to ask them to change. I've never said don't sell, don't come up to this. Just do your time. Only thing.
I want
stick
you to
your time and do whatever the fuck you want. I mean, and I've had people ask me like now I bring John Huck or Mary Santora and different people around to open and it's great. But you know sometimes the first time they work with you, like, hey, is there anything? And I feel bad
that they're asking that because
clearly that they've somebody else that they've worked with has told them not to do something, which happened to me, you know, early on too. And I'm like, no, I'm like, I've always fucking hated that. It's like, don't worry, you do whatever, you do your stuff. I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna talk about what I want to talk about when I get up there.
I'm rough on Lee sometimes about comedy.
Yeah,
I'm very rough on Lee because Lee knows I look at this as a religion. This is the religion that saved me. Christianity didn't save me. The Jehovah's didn't save me. You know, Catholics didn't save me. This is a real religion if you look at it.
Yeah.
One thing. You know, I love when I go into a club and a host comes up to me and he calls me Mr. Diaz. Right there, he already lost it. Right? Because we're comics. There's no Mr. Diaz. And then they say, is there anything particular you want me to say? And I look them in the face and I go, nothing. And their expression, it's like I took 20 pounds off them. Because I know, if I know anything about comedy, I know that they're just trying to remember their own jokes.
Yep.
For Christ's sake, why are you picking on me?
Yep.
I'm just trying to remember my jokes. You want me to go up there now and talk about your guest appearance on Will and Grace?
Right.
And how you did the Tonight Show 8 times with Letterman and without Letterman. And how you won, you know, just fuck it. And then if you mess it up on Thursday, oh my God, Lee. Excuse me, can I see you after the show? Hi, Dan. It's Diaz. Diaz?
Right.
Can you say that real quick for me?
Right.
Can you repeat
Diaz?
No. Diaz? It's a syllable? Wait till you get those people.
Yeah.
And I know you fucking had them.
Oh, yeah.
So when that's done to you, you go, the first thing you say to yourself is, I'm not saying I'm going to be a feature act, but if I do become a feature act, I'm not going to treat
that guy
how that guy got treated. Then when I became a feature, I started getting that hush treatment.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that said something to me that backed his words, that I don't mind. If and I told this to him day one, and I told this to people. And here's another problem we have. and I did it too. When you work with a popular headliner, a very good headliner, as a feature or an MC,
right,
and you start doing it for a while, guess what happens?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If they pick up your cadence, they start sounding like you. That warrants a discussion. Right.
They pick up your cadence.
Right.
So by the end of the week, they're saying cocksucker.
Right.
They're saying faggot. They're saying little things that they don't know they're saying, but they're saying it. Me, I'm a professional,
right,
so I don't really go up to them and go, stop saying that, because Richard Jenny came up to me and he goes, I don't give a fuck if you light your balls on fire on stage. Just don't say fuck because I use it. Take away from my impact on my jokes. That was a very much, he just taught me how to write.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just taught me how to write. But don't come up to me and tell me I can't do the joke about the one-legged Chinaman.
Right, right.
Because you follow me?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because
the bit is too strong. Yeah, that's what right, I hate.
Right.
Don't tell me I can't improvise.
Right.
Listen. There's a school of thought.
Because they're trying to sabotage you.
If Dan Cummings is improvising, now the audience is going to talk to me when I go on stage. That's the other train of thought. My train of thought now is I'm such a professional. My base is so strong that I'll shut the heckler down. Like if you go on stage for a half hour,
yeah.
You ever work with New York comics?
Oh, yeah, you work with somebody.
Great to be here. How you doing? Mm-hmm, hey, what do you do for a living?
Yeah, sure.
You came with him? Oh, no shit. What do you
right,
do?
Right.
What do you do? You guys know each other? That's 50-50 work.
Yeah.
50% of that. Sometimes you're going to have a standing ovation, and sometimes it's going to be a long night. But what happens is now you train the audience to talk. So the headliner's going to go up there. Now for 10 minutes, he's going to deal with chit-chat. You just steam right through, and they know you're not fucking around.
Right, exactly.
So
how
I would
you
never go up to Dan and say, Dan, don't talk to the audience.
Right, right. You just said
I'm
a different
so
tone.
Confident in my base and my presence.
Right.
But I'm not going to. The first
when all that stuff's insecurity, like when you're talking about the people that you know that need the very specific introduction and you can't say this, it's all about they're just same thing. They're just super insecure. I never worked with a guy who did the very long, but I've heard horror stories like the hand like guy. There's one guy, I don't even remember his name because I never met him. I just heard about him from a few other people that he printed out this long fucking
I had that guy.
And expected people to memorize it. And it was like this ridiculous shit. Like you may, a lot like The Simpsons, like you may remember him from, but it was, yeah, you, like you may, you know, you've seen him on this show. He's been on, you know, Conan 3 times and he was in this movie and that movie, but it was like fucking 15 things. And if you fucked it up, I guess this guy would like go off on people. It's fucking, that's crazy. That guy's a lunatic.
He would go.
The audience doesn't care. They don't fucking care. They just want you to be funny. I have one thing. I say the time when people ask, I say one thing. The host of Time Suck. Just mention my podcast. That is it. And sometimes they're like, well, do you want me to say Comedy Central? I'm like, no, I don't fucking care. And they don't care. They just want to hear what jokes I have and they're going to like them or they're not. But they're not going to leave going, man, I'm sure glad I saw that guy who's on Conan 2 times. That was so great.
One of the greatest experiences I had was to host for 18 months. I was an in-house host at a triple gig.
Oh, which one? I did
in
so many
Boulder.
Of those. Oh, I didn't do that one.
Boulder, this is
I think that was gone before.
You were,
yeah.
You were still playing with a handball, discovering why you had one hair on your nutsack and when the rest of it was coming out when I started counting. Remember when you got that one little patch of hair?
I didn't remember the first hair.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Party's starting. And then you got two hairs and you're like, oh, shit. Pussy's on the way. Then the sides filled in. Remember the sides filled in? And you're like, oh. I'll be eating some ass in no time.
I remember I had like a little mustache above my dick.
But that little bald spot stayed bald for a long time.
Yeah, I
had you had a like.
I remember the
bald.
Yeah, mine came in on the. Yours came in opposite, I guess. Mine came in on the sides too.
I came in on the sides first, and then the bush took a long time. I had to rub Rogaine on it before it was Rogaine. You had to mix like gasoline with Hindu piss.
I don't remember the bars. I remember the little thin dusting up top.
It was just a little dusting.
Yeah.
But when you looked at it, it looked like hair. But when you looked in the mirror, it was bald.
No, it was sad. It was sad.
So you couldn't take a hat. You couldn't show up. It's like showing up with 3 bullets when you got 6 spaces. You were showing up with a nice dick and like a bozo hairdo. You had the bozo hairdo with the bald spot in the middle. But that bald spot took forever. You estimated it. You're like, okay, it's June 14th. I'll be ready to get my dick sucked in September. Fuck no.
I remember I was super late, actually. I went to a small school. I do remember now that you were talking about this. PE, I don't even think kids like necessarily are in the shower, in the locker room all naked together anymore. But it might, like, you know, when I was going to school, like everybody's naked. And I was like, I was the last kid. Like everybody, I had nothing. Little baldy. I had a weird. I didn't grow at all from like fourth grade to about eighth grade. And by the time eighth grade hit, I was the smallest kid in my class, boy or girl. And I just hit, and then puberty hit. Like I hit very late, so I just remember that's what my memories of just being like, ah, fuck, I got nothing still. And I remember panicking, thinking I was just never gonna have a hair.
I didn't get bald head till I was 14.
What?
Look at my legs. I have no hair on my legs.
Oh yeah.
I'm Lampino. I think I got one little long asshole hair. Ooh. I got enough.
I know what it is.
It took me years.
Too bad you don't have three, so you can braid them.
Now I'm losing my hair on top, but my eyebrows have been on fire. They've been on a growth spurt. Like, there's times I'll find an eyebrow just fucking gravitating. I'll tell my wife to cut them before I go on the road. And when you know you go on the road, every whole hotel has that good mirror.
Yeah. I look. Right. Yes.
And I see hairs coming out of my ears. Like, I'm losing the hair on my dome. But
your hair looks good. I mean, from this angle.
Oh, no.
Your hairline's low.
Oh, the hairline's low. But look at the eyebrows. They're on fire.
Solid eyebrows.
Looks like Elvis's hairdo when he was 21, when he got out of the service. They're on fire.
I've been going bald for my whole adult life. Because it's high. It's a high hairline. It's definitely a little thinner, for sure. But what's funny is I just looked at her date, and I was like, man, it's definitely going. Now it's finally going. And then I looked at a thing from like 5 years ago, and I'm like, oh, shit, I thought it was going then. And then I looked at a picture from like 10 years ago. My high school history teacher, like a sophomore year, he was like, he was bald, and he was like, ah, you don't got much time left. Like, he thought, but yeah, just high. I always had this crazy high hairline. Hey, thinning.
I was put on Propecia in middle school.
No!
And then it came out that it kills your dick, so they took me off of it.
You started going bald in middle school?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I was gone by like 25. I was gone.
You got a solid shaved head though. Lucky.
Well, thank you. It's weird, but I've also always had. I have shoulder hair, back hair, butt leg hair. I have hair, chest
You're
hair
like, everywhere else.
It gets like I have two back shavers in case one goes, because it's terrible.
You want to just glue it.
Shave your
just
body.
Glue it. Yeah, just glue it up there.
Crazy glue on
that's
your like, ass.
That's what I was
because
thinking.
It looks so good. It looks like bald hair. It doesn't look
that's
like
that. That's tremendous. Another grow. I don't know why.
That's alpha. That's alpha move.
I don't know why nobody's ever thought of that.
Just put the bald hair on their head?
Bald hair, leg hair, put it all in one patch. Put it up there.
Back hair is nice. Back hair is fine. It's soft.
Don't put it into the stem cells. Don't try to grow it. Just crazy glue that.
Crazy glue your bald hair on the head.
I look like Willy Willy if I do that.
And just
that
comb
game.
It and just oh make it work. I was combing my hair last night and I was telling myself, I'm like,
such a visual.
I can't believe I'm losing my hair, but I need, you know, I wasn't a handsome guy growing up, so I couldn't be bald. Thank God. At least I had hair. Like, girls would say, well, at least the guy's got hair and he's got a nice dick and he eats my asshole and he spits in my pussy. And he does nasty things. You know what I'm saying?
Thank goodness for that.
When you're not a good-looking guy, you got to do nasty things in bed. You got good-looking guys just bring you home and fuck you and flex their chest and they come on you and they call you a dirty bitch. I couldn't do that. I was an ugly dude. I had to eat your ass and get in there and flip you over and make them tell you I jerk off to your fat little pictures and all that shit to get that pussy. You got to tell them shit. You got to work the mental. You know what I'm saying? Why are you squinting over to your wife for me? Well,
I'm trying so hard. She listens to dirty talk.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying not to say thanks. Yeah, she says go ahead.
So what's been
going
on with you, brother?
Oh, my God. It's been good, man. Actually, my wife and I, we just... We started a podcast that'll launch in a few weeks. I'm a horror fan, so I love horror before comedy. Actually, like horror movies are my favorite. Stephen King, all that kind of stuff, and I just love a scary tale.
I got your first guest.
Yeah, our structure is just I just find these stories and then just put them in my kind of narrative voice. But I just try to scare. She doesn't know what the story's gonna be. Mm-hmm. We sit in a dark studio with a bunch of occult candle shit around us. It's a fucking creepy room, and I just try to scare the shit out of her with two stories a week. So that's the new one. And then the other podcast has been going well, man. And the touring's going well.
Have you seen the trailer for that new It? That trailer scares me.
I haven't seen the trailer. I haven't watched TV. I saw a bus bench the other day. That was creepy.
That's the one with the clown?
Yeah. Pennywise. Oh, no. Pennywise.
I felt so bad. You know, clowns had a parade after that.
No, downtown LA. What? For real?
Dog. The clowns. After that movie came out. Clowns had a demonstration downtown
LA. We're not creepy
because a bunch of clowns started losing work. when that movie came out. They started getting canceled for magicians.
Good.
And fucking like Marvel comics. So a bunch of magicians went downtown and protested that movie because they were losing all their summer work. That was one of the funniest things
that is fucking
I ever read in my life. A bunch of guys with like rubber noses with sticks and big feet fucking saying, listen, come on, give us a break.
We're not creepy. Steve, we're not creepy. I gotta tell you something.
I've always hated clowns.
Me too. Me too.
I don't know what it is about clowns.
I have a clown story. I did it on an album years ago, but it's all true. True story. I hated clowns because I had the craziest fucking clown story. I was always watching movies, speaking of horror stuff. You know, when my parents weren't paying attention, whatever like that, or mom would be gone, I would just, first thing I'd do is put on HBO and just see what I could watch. And I watched that movie, Poltergeist. You know, the one with the little girl. She died later. Yeah, the little girl. And there's a clown, a ventriloquist clown doll in that movie under the boy's bed. You remember that, Lee? And
it tries to strangle. I would never see that. No.
Okay. Tries to strangle him. When the house goes crazy and it's all, and there's a poltergeist activity in the house, this ventriloquist doll. Well, that wasn't a prop made for that movie. That was an actual ventriloquist clown doll that you could buy at a store that I had that was like my favorite toy for whatever reason prior to that movie. And I had it in my room. So I fucking see that, but I don't want to tell my parents because I'll get in trouble for watching something I'm supposed to watch. So I just take the clown doll and I take him downstairs like little kid mentality and I fucking beat the shit out of him. Like I just, you know, I hooked his little clown thing, like hung him around a doorknob, and just fucking worked him like, fuck you, stupid clown. Fuck you, can't get me. Whatever like that. Throw him in the trash. Think I killed him. I go to bed. My mom found the clown doll in the trash and thought it was just misplaced. So she doesn't know that I'm terrified. And she puts that fucker back in my room on like a little chair. So then I wake up in the middle of the night and I see that son of a bitch back in the room like he's fucking watching me. And it gave me reoccurring nightmares for fucking years. Like I was paralyzed. And I still don't want to get in trouble. I'm so afraid that I fucking dealt with it for several like days until finally I broke down.
Prepared for the whiplash you're about to get from this podcast. Tomorrow the Midget Association's going to come after you for beating up a little fucking clown to death when you were 10 years old. And then your argument's going to be, I didn't beat up a midget. I beat up a doll. Clown. And they're going to say, it could have been a difference. What if you had cocktails? You know.
Your doll story triggered me.
I always hated those ventriloquist dolls.
Oh, they're creepy. I don't know if you knew this.
When I first met Duncan, he had a ventriloquist doll.
Little Hobo.
Little Homo, whatever Hobo. His name. Hobo. And he would bring him on the road with us. And dog, I would make sure I wasn't on the floor with him. Like I would tell them at the desk, don't put me on the same floor with him.
Seriously? Yeah, it creeped you out that much?
Just don't like all that shit.
Did you have like my grandma had all those weird porcelain dolls around the house. Did you have something like that around where you grew up? Like a bunch of dolls or creepy
dolls?
I'll
tell you why I hate dolls. Because I broke one of my mother's dolls one time. One of those Japanese dolls that you could switch the wigs on.
I don't know. I think I know. It's like porcelain.
Porcelain.
Yeah.
They cost my father a lot of money.
Okay.
And my mother told me not to throw the ball in the house, and I broke the fucking doll, and I tried to crazy glue the fucking Elmer's glue back the doll together. It looked like somebody came on the doll.
Like Annabelle.
And shit. Like, thinking about it now, it looked like a doll would come on it. I had fucking Elmer's glue all over her and shit. My mom's like, what happened to my doll? And I had to pay her out of my pocket. I don't know what it is. I've never been hip to clowns.
What about that statue you had like when you came home at night?
I had this statue in my house. This is San Lazaro. This is like one of the patron saints of Cuba.
Okay.
And my mother believed so much in him and my father that they had a 6-foot statue of this motherfucker in the house. So if you opened the door in the living room, he was in between the kitchen and the fucking living room. And there were nights that I would come down to get water in the middle of the night. I would do a hit of acid and I would open my door. And he had a gold crown. He had a gold crown.
Oh, yeah.
And two crutches. And if you go to my house, I still have crutches in my house from when I got my knee operated out of respect for this saint. Because if you're Cuban, you have to celebrate the saint on December 17th. But like 2 weeks before my mother died, I had a party. And Eddie Borelli and his boys walked in, but the Red Devil was there, and he took one of the crutches from the saint, and he goes, you take one more step, and I'll hit you over the head with this fucking crutch. So it was tremendous. That's what I think about. I'm sorry to throw you off.
No, was there candles and stuff underneath it?
No candles, nothing. The offering is, he had a purple cape. If you see a Cuban person dressed like a purple, they made a promise. They made a promise to for their knees or arthritis.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, when That's why you can't hit a dog if you're Cuban. That's why when Michael Vick got sentenced to prison, there were a couple of prisons they couldn't put him in because there were abacuas in those prisons. And they dedicate their life to this saint.
Wow.
So you got to help dogs and stuff like me. The other night, I don't know if I told you, Lee. The other night, Sunday night, I'm going to the Comedy Store. I get in my little Subaru. I start it up, you know, and I'm looking. I go in reverse. I put the car in reverse, and I'm looking at the camera.
Yeah.
I look, and I'm like, what's that dog? The fuck is there a dog doing? And I make the U-turn out of my driveway, and I pull up my 2 feet, and he's like 6 feet from me, and I lower the window. I'm like, what are you doing in this neighborhood, cocksucker? Are you lost? And I'm like, Papito, come here. I'm starting to talk to him in Spanish because of my Cuban roots. And next thing you know, I realize that's not a dog. That's a coyote. So I close my window and I call my wife. I go, get out of here. I just put the car in reverse and went backwards like that dude that robbed the cop car in Dayton yesterday. You see that dude that robbed the cop car backwards? They would chase him. He was doing 90 miles.
Holy shit, 90 in reverse?
Backwards. Yeah, he ended up killing the family. It's a fucking shame. God rest in peace. But I fucking went back. The last three nights, I've seen that fucking coyote.
Oh my God.
Him Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night. But my neighborhood is going crazy. You think the Crips moved into town? Those poor white
about this
people
one coyote
are knocking on my door. Excuse me. It's a coyote. I saw some white dude running. I pulled up next to him. I go, dog, you better look out for the coyote. Because those Studio City streets are dark.
Yeah.
They're fucking dark. Like, if I go to Lee Street in the middle, that's the easiest place to mug somebody. Like, if you're looking to rape somebody, just go to fucking,
Addison.
In between Colfax and Laurel Canyon, that's rapist paradise there. That's like rapist paradise. You hide under a bush in the third block, you can rape a fag, a little boy, or a woman and get out of there within minutes. I've told the cops that.
I just picture you randomly. Officer, I need to talk to you about some stuff.
No, I told the cop one day because there was a home invasion a block away from Colfax Grammar School. And I saw a cop on my block, and I stopped him down. I go, would you do me a favor? Do you mind going down around this block a lot more? And he goes, like, what are you talking about? I go, I've lived in this house for a year and a half. This is the first time I see you coming down this block. We have a security service.
Yeah.
That he belongs to the school, so we rent him also. And he does patrols. But I trust him like I trust Lee with a gun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's just a guy that they gave a job to for $8. If I tell Lee to watch my house and he sees three fucking burglars, what's Lee going to do, beat him up? No, he's going to shoot him and call 911. That's what this guy has to do.
Yeah.
So I told the cops, and I go, something else. I go, this is like one of the fucking best neighborhoods around, and there's no streetlights. You go in between, like, where Felicia used to live. You know how many times I would take Felicia home at night and I almost hit somebody walking a dog?
Just that dark, huh?
Because it's a nice neighborhood. They don't want to. It ruins the aesthetic or something.
The aesthetic.
That's what they'll say. They don't have sidewalks in these neighborhoods.
No, it's crazy. Studio City, North Hollywood, that crossover there, my neighborhood, that's like fucking, I'm happy. My block, the two blocks east because of the school, we have that security, and the security park's on my corner. So he sees everything. Yeah. He parks right there because that's a parking lot for the school. So I'm pretty lucky. But what about the people four blocks from me? What about the people across Riverside, like where Felicia used to live? I used to drive Felicia home and make sure she'd get in her door. That's how much I don't trust her.
I live in Idaho now, and it is funny just thinking that. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I don't have these thoughts anymore because There's no sidewalks in so many of the neighborhoods there, and like so much of it is just dark. It's just, you're just like, yeah, that's just it. But I'm like, oh yeah.
Did you even lock your door when you left your house? Like, could you just leave?
Oh, you could. I mean, I do because I'm a little more paranoid than that. We left, but you could. I mean, you could, like, yeah.
What
you don't
part
hear
of
about
Idaho are you living in?
Coeur d'Alene.
Nice. So that's the skiing place.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I don't do any of the stuff that you're supposed to do there. I don't ski. I don't snowboard and stuff. I don't
golf.
How
about the boys?
My son and daughter, they want to get into, I think they want to get into skiing and some events. Monroe, my daughter does.
How long have you lived in Coeur d'Alene, if you don't mind me asking?
We've been up there 3 years.
And they haven't fucking skied yet?
Nah, because I haven't done it. I know I got to take them. I took
How
them
about
on the
your kids? They don't want to ski?
They want to try, but they what do we do? You know what's funny? They like to be home. We do like a lot of like they're always doing like lessons of some kind or some kind of sports. So honestly, on top of all that sort of stuff, they just want to like be home.
Have you taken them tubing? Tubing is the best. Because tubing, you don't have to strap anything on. You just go. Yes. Oh my god!
There's a huge sled hill.
Oh, I love that.
And we do that. We do that. That's easy. Just go down. You know. But even on that, like, yeah, we do that a couple times a year. Yeah, that's fun. But yeah, we gotta actually do the snowboarding or skiing. But it is beautiful up there. We do like, you know, it's just nice, like get out in the lake or bike rides or, you know, hikes or whatever, or just like be out in the yard. I mean, honestly, we got a trampoline in the back. That was the best. I don't know what $300 spent my life. Like they just want to go do those kind of things. We got dogs.
You happy up there?
I am. You know, we got a nice, like, we have a little podcast studio that is literally less than 2 minute drive from my house. So get up in the morning, go down there. We got a couple employees now. That's what we do in Time Suck, where we're going to do our scared to death thing. So it's like a family business. We have a couple people that work for us that we really like. And it's just easy. You know, it's like, yes, there's, I mean, I had to like, you know, accept that I'm not going to be able to, you know, go on auditions or things like that. But I really wasn't doing that anyway when I was there. That's not what I never cared about that. Just for me. I like stand, like I still do. Stand up actually is going better than ever because of the podcast. I'm getting more of my fans to the shows than I ever did when I lived here. So for me, it's worked out. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody. You know, if somebody really wants to, you know, be in a scene and come up that way and be part of that, or if they're really into like trying to act or trying to write or trying to produce, I mean, you got to accept that you're not going to do that kind of stuff. But you know, but the game has changed so much though too. What's random is I do like Skype auditions. I don't even try to do auditions, but every once in a while somebody wants you for a host or something. It's Skype.
It's crazy. You don't need to live here.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, yeah. You know, I come down every once in a while for meetings and stuff. And even on that stuff, I love having my own business. And I love kind of being my own brand now. And I just want to like go further with that. So for me, I love it. And it gives me more time. I love to like write and create and stuff like that. And I'm not sitting in traffic. I just get to, you know, be at an office that's set up like I like it. An environment conducive to me being creative. A bunch of weird shit on the walls. All that kind of stuff. And it's great. But it would drive some people fucking crazy.
You get to work out up there during the week? Is there anywhere to go and do comedy during the week?
No. But you know what? I never did that much when I was down here either. It's like I like to think, contemplate. And then I the last couple albums I've made have all just been from the road. Just throwing stuff in the middle. I think it's because of where I started. There wasn't that option in Spokane.
Okay.
My open mics were kind of like triple gigs. I did a little bit of these rooms in Spokane, like these weekend rooms. And then Tribble was desperate for features that would be willing to drive people to all these Montana gigs and Idaho gigs and all that kind of stuff. And so looking back, I didn't realize how crazy it was. And I had a guitar early on, which I ended up dropping like 4 years in. But I got all this road time in these weird little bars all over the Northwest, and I just learned to develop new bits in that atmosphere, and then that just became part of my process. And then when I started featuring in clubs and stuff, same thing. I would just, every week it was a goal to get a new bit to work, and that stuck in my head. And then it was, when I went to LA, I had kids. I came to LA after I was divorced, so when my kids were here, you know, I had to be with them the whole time. And when I wasn't with them the whole time, I was doing gigs on the road the whole time. So it just never fit lifestyle-wise to really work things out on a regular basis in a club. So I just never developed that.
Where you at? Now, you shoot your special one, your new special one.
It's going to be October 17th, I think. It's a Crowfoot Ballroom. It's like a little rock club in Pontiac, Michigan, a little suburb of Detroit. And I think it's almost... I mean, it's not a big place, but I think it's almost sold out.
Why'd you pick Detroit?
You know, I wanted something different. Well, part of it was markets we'd already burned, you know, because there was, and then markets we'd already filmed that. We just wanted to do something different. And I've like recorded stuff in Portland, Oregon, and Salt Lake City, and Spokane, Washington, and Minneapolis. And last time I was through Detroit, I just had a blast. And it just, but a lot of it was like routing worked out well, you know, routing. There's a couple other cities that maybe like the next time around, you know, Denver, I love. But we already had Denver kind of on the books by the time we decided to kind of try and do the special. So mostly it was based on venue availability, honestly, out of markets that I liked. We looked at Atlanta and then and Detroit with the final two. And then Detroit just gave us the...
Detroit's a great comedy city.
I've had a blast. It's always every time I've been there, I've had a blast.
I've had a great time in the whole state of Michigan.
Yeah, you know what?
The whole state of Michigan is great.
Oh, yeah. You know, they talk about you at Dr. Grin's and Bob.
Yeah.
I love those guys. That's a fun place.
When I was
Grand Rapids.
When I got into comedy, I did from Niles. I did from It's called Niles, Michigan, which is really called Mishawaka.
Yeah. I don't know that
South
one.
South Bend, Indiana.
Okay.
So you play Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I've done all the way from Mishawaka all the way up to Ishpeming.
To what?
Ishpeming.
I don't even know.
Ishpeming is the tip Ishpeming. Where it's fucking penguin weather all year round.
Oh, the
and then you got Mackinac Island.
Oh, yeah.
When mm-hmm. when I was in
That's the, a big vacation place,
in
right?
In the late 90s, I say 30% of my road work was in the state of Michigan. The other 30 in Texas.
Wow. Wow, that's random.
Texas, you could live in Texas and do
Was there like a David Tribble of Texas, or were you doing clubs in Texas?
Texas, I was doing, no, at the time I wasn't in Texas at all. There was a guy named Initials.
Huh.
He fired me early on. I told him to suck my dick because he would give you, he would sign you up for 5 nights. Then the week of the gig, he call you and tell you there's two nights.
Yep.
And it's Tuesday and Thursday. So what am I, Tuesday and Friday.
So, you make
so what the fuck
bucks.
Am I supposed to do for three right. nights all the way out in fucking Tucson, Arizona?
Yep.
Walk to the fucking gig, TJ something. So I moved to Seattle and I called him like a man and I told him that I couldn't do the gig because
yeah.
he goes, you took it. If you cancel, you'll never work an improv again. And I said, okay. And then the night of the gig, I said, nobody threatens Uncle Joey. And I waited till 7 o'clock. He texted me. Peep me. He paged me and he goes, where are you? I go, I'm 10 minutes out. And he goes, okay.
Meanwhile, you're in Seattle, right?
I'm in Seattle. And then he called back and he goes, where the fuck are you? And I go, you know where I am? I'm in Seattle. You ever threaten me again, I'll get in the car and go down there and knock the fuck. I just went off. Fuck you.
That's fucking
And he's
great.
Like, you'll never work again. You'll never work an improv.
You're doing all right. Doing
yeah. And then I called him years later.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Somebody
you did?
I was in Houston. He had a room yeah. in Starkville, Mississippi. And it was open. Somebody said, they're looking for a headliner. And I called him. I'm like, hey, you got just to see. And he goes, what's your name? And I told him. He goes, man, your name sounds familiar to me. He goes, call me tomorrow. I'll let you know. And the next day I called him. I go, you remember who I am? He goes, I never forgot who the fuck you were. I go, still 20 years later, fuck you, cocksucker. And I hung up on him. I had Tribble in those days, but I also had the Grand Rapids guy, John Yoder.
Yeah, the Yoders. Yeah.
John Yoder was very... very, very good to me.
Oh, that's great. I only know his sons.
Right.
Like Jameson, you know those guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first time they gave me a check, they had tears in their eyes.
The first time the sons did?
That was the biggest check I had ever received.
Oh, you had tears in your eyes.
They had tears
oh,
in their eyes.
Oh, because they were so happy for you. Yeah.
No,
what? Oh, ha, 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 took me a second. Because they're sad that they had to give you that much money.
You could send them the message. I love them to death. But what happened was, it was the very beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
And what for people who don't know, the legend, the Floyd Mayweather, is from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Floyd Phillips.
Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, yes, Floyd Mayweather, that's right.
Phillips.
And the Floyd Phillips
the
comic,
kidney,
too. I thought you were,
the
yeah,
kidney's
yeah.
dead.
I thought you were joking around the comic.
I miss the kidney.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
him. He's a good man.
But yeah, Floyd Mayweather,
God
right.
rest his soul. But Floyd Mayweather, well, a lot of people don't know, it's got the more churches per capita in the country.
Huh.
So the two Yoder boys, who were sweethearts, believed that dirty comedy wouldn't do well. So they laughed at my agent. They laughed at anybody. In fact, they learned the hard way because I think they got Leno for the Comedy Festival, the Grand Rapids
oh,
Comedy
yeah,
Festival.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh, Gilda Fest or whatever, yeah.
For 100 a ticket or something. That's a fucking working class community. Who's going to pay a yardstick to see Jay Leno? That was 20 years ago. Elvis is dead and I don't feel so good myself. You know what I'm saying? So when they called for me, there was two clubs that laughed at me. It was them and Caroline's.
Okay.
And they really laughed at me, Caroline's. Caroline's like, Diaz isn't worth it. He's like a ham and egger. But Grand Rapids was like, we'll book him. But dirty comedy doesn't fly over here. So they went ahead and gave me like 90% of the door.
Oh, that's awesome. And you killed it.
And when they had to give me that check... on Saturday night, you could see them. Like, their head was down. Like, it was like they had tears in their eyes. They didn't call my manager back for like a month. They didn't want to hear my name. But you cannot, you know, there was a lot of comedy clubs like that. And who else was like that? He changed his tune. He's my brother today. Keith Stubbs.
Oh, yeah, man. I love Keith.
Stubbs,
I love,
you know,
Keith.
He brought Doug Stanhope in 2001, and the Chamber of Commerce went fucking nuts. They wrote a letter. They accused to close him down. I mean, it was fucking
yeah,
crazy.
Well, he was fighting that the culture
so
there.
For
yeah.
a long time, he was very scared. And yeah. I finally called him in 2014. I said, hey, Elvis, you know, that was a long time ago, Keith.
Right,
let's
right.
give it a shot.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know if it'll work. So he put me in the little room.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he had Epps in the big room. And it was like, he's like, I'm sorry. Can you stay for Saturday? And I'm like, I can't. Because he thought it wasn't going to work. But right. he was a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's great.
It
he's
was
great.
The guys that were like negative about it. And the Yoders sure. weren't as negative as sure. I'm making sure. them sound.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people.
Yeah, just, I get it on a business level.
There's a lot of people who think dirty comedy will not work in our market.
Right.
And you'd be fucking surprised.
Yeah, funny comedy works yeah, in every market.
Funny comedy works in every market. Yep. You know, so yep. it's really weird what you go through at every level, whether you're yeah. an MC, a feature, or a fucking headliner.
Yeah.
You still go through fucking that. I mean, Orange County don't hire me.
What, who?
Comedy Magic Club.
Oh, well, yeah. But
they won't have me even in their club.
That's a very
but
business model.
I was very happy because at least they called me and told me to my face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like men. Instead of me having me email them yeah. and they don't email you.
They're a rare club that way. They're a rare club.
They're very good. I compliment them to
Richard electric. And the guys down there, they have a different, and I used to do spots here and there, but and with me too, they'd be like, hey, but you can't, you know, you got to do very clean and blah, blah, blah. They have a very rare business model, and good for them, where they can pack that room just kind of regardless, you know, or at least they used to. Used to just be like,
and no, they're nice people,
and they're nice people.
Oh,
you know?
They feed you and they give you a steak to take
food,
home.
Good food.
When you're broke in those yep. days, I remember Ralphie would bring home a piece of salmon for me. I got you a piece of salmon.
Yeah,
I ate the baked potato though. But I'll give you the salmon.
But isn't it cool now when you're talking about like these markets and stuff? What I love is, you know, because of like the podcast world. And because of how things have changed online, well, and like you specifically, like, you know, you have with your YouTube and the podcasts such a big consistent following that you don't need to worry about any club because there's alt venues in every city where your following is. They don't care if you're at, you know, fucking Scoots McGee's Laugh, you know, Chuckle Shack or, you know, Don's Rock Club, like whatever. They'll just go to a venue that you want to go. And so I just feel like comics have more freedom than they've ever had that way, where it's like if you build that following online and you get those fans that just want to see you, you can work wherever those fans are.
Andrew Schultz.
It's amazing.
Andrew Schultz.
I don't know him. I know of him, but I don't know him.
Andrew Schultz, if you're a comedian and you're not doing what Andrew Schultz is doing today, if you're at a stuck level and you yeah. feel frustrated, I want you to follow Andrew Schultz and do everything he does verbatim.
I know he's been killing it.
He just did a new special the same day Chappelle released one here okay. on YouTube.
Oh, you put it on, yeah, on YouTube.
That's
yeah.
all he does, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You just go for it.
Yep.
Now,
good for
if
him.
You're doing
good
comedy
for him.
A year, I hope it's not going to work for you. Andrew Schultz is putting the time.
Sure, sure.
So before you go mimicking yeah, yeah, Andrew yeah, yeah. Schultz, put in 10 years, and right? then he figured yeah. this out by doing it.
Right.
If you mimic Andrew Schultz, you will have success today.
Yeah.
Everything to the T, the way he puts his material up, his social media, his relationship with the audience. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
He's doing a fucking sensational job.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, it is.
And that's
yeah.
the freedom
yeah.
that we have today as comics.
To have that direct relationship with fans.
We had depended on agents.
Yeah.
For everything. A booking, this.
Yep.
That fucking... Kreischer put a video of him up dancing.
I saw it. It's so
video,
funny.
And America's Got Talent.
Yep. I know. I saw him post about that too.
Okay,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you control your fucking destiny. Yeah, yeah. You control your fucking destiny. So you're at the store tonight. 8
yes.
o'clock.
Yes.
You're
yeah,
psyched.
I've actually never performed on that stage before.
And you're in the main room.
I know.
You ain't fucking around.
I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. I'm sorry I have a PTA meeting.
I love it. I love that you're going to a PTA meeting.
I'm not even going out this Thursday. I got a PTA meeting. So I got.
I love that you're a good dad, man.
Huh?
I love that you're a good dad, for real.
It's all I got left.
Well, no, you got plenty. You got plenty.
I'm so many, you know, when you don't have a father and then you have a lot of fathers, like not that my mother was a whore. I just had a lot of people who I looked up to as fathers.
Yeah.
I put the what would the perfect father be together in my head? What would the ideal situation be in my head? You know, and I try my hardest. She's a girl, so they have a couple more gaps to fill. As a female, you have to fill those gaps for them. But if you're consistent with them, you're going to get a heavy fucking hitter. I've seen this formula done before, you know. It's funny because we're talking about colleges. I have a niece that just started medical school.
That's awesome.
She loves me. I love her. You know, she's a fucking gangster. Doesn't get high, doesn't drink. One time I brought my sister weed, but I dropped it and she found it and sold it at school. I mean, she's a gangster. She's a gangster. I love her to death. It's so weird that she'll live and die for me, this niece. I have five nieces that I'm tight with, but she doesn't like my comedy. You know what I'm saying? Because she's a college student. She's
right, right, right.
24-year-old. You know, when we go out to dinner, she just shakes her head sometimes. She accepts me.
Yeah, she loves you.
She accepts me, yeah. But it's so weird where their sense of humor is.
You know, sure, when you're talking
about college is early.
Right.
But no, I wanted to always be a good dad. I've always wanted to be.
Yeah.
When you don't have a dad, you can't wait to be a dad. And I lost my first daughter not out of being a good dad. I lost because of not having a good relationship with my wife and what was going on with the drugs and the comedy. So when I got the second chance, I rise to the occasion. I rose to the
That's awesome, man.
You have to.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is all we
Well,
got.
You know what? You don't have to, though, but you did. You chose to. That's chose fuck, to. Yeah. That's fucking.
You know, I saw
yeah.
a lot of people around in this town that their fathers were successful, but now these kids are walking around lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, they didn't know who their fathers were. They were always on the road. Or they have memories of their fathers, but I guarantee, you know,
right.
it's not the memories that, and it's the little things. You know, for years I thought you had to buy your kids all this stuff and spend all this money in Disney. You know, my daughter, if I just sit there and watch DuckTales with her and yeah. let her explain it to me
yeah.
and let her explain the characters, it means more to her than anything in the world, than a trip around the fucking world. It's just
yeah.
amazing what you learn, you know. So I think that it's a good balance for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been a great balance for me.
Yeah.
At this age, you know.
Because kids don't care if you killed or if you ate it, whatever. They just want dad to love them and want to spend time with dad. It's beautiful.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. So I try to put as much time as I can in, you know.
Yeah.
I started the podcast with her, the science podcast.
I love that. I had love to that.
Because she won't shut the fuck up. You know, I call her 8-ball because she won't shut the fuck up. I think she's been doing blow since she was 4. She won't shut up. She's like all night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
She'll just pop up something out of the blue and just run with it. You're like,
sure.
Whoa.
That's awesome, man. So,
but I'm happy you're shooting your special.
Oh, thanks, man.
What's the name of the location where you're shooting?
Pontiac Crowfoot Ballroom.
And people will put links up to know before the
oh, yeah, it's on sale. One of them's, yeah, they're, we don't have a, yeah, we got a couple tickets left. It's a smaller, okay. Yeah, but okay. Yeah, that and then Scared to Death, that trailer's out now. That just went out. Lindsay and I are really excited about that, and Time Suck's doing well. Man, it's so different now. Isn't that crazy? Like, I think about – I'm excited about the special. Don't get me wrong. I love stand-up. I'm excited about the special. But I've gotten so into, like, podcast stuff and all that kind of – like, that stuff even – I don't love it more, but I just love that you can create your own project to continually kind of promote, talk about, and have that no one can take from you. You know, you can just put stuff out that you're passionate about and people can find it right away. It's the best, man. It's the fucking best.
There's no excuses.
Right? There isn't. No one's stopping you.
No excuses.
You don't have to pay to have a YouTube account.
Nobody likes me. No, I can't. I don't go to Montreal.
Doesn't matter. You know, I was talking about, and it's crazy
there's
now where.
No excuses no more.
Yeah, it's just such a different business.
It's all on you now.
Yep.
If you don't make it, it's your fault because. You
yep.
have every tool. Twitch, you could take your dick out and hit it and people donate.
Right.
There's a fucking thing that you could stab a woman and they'll donate. You have 1,000 ways to become.
You know what? That changed our lives. Our thing is the Patreon. We have had a crazy amount of subscribers, more than I ever expected. And it's the most beautiful thing. They're paying $5 a month because they just want to hear it. They get an extra podcast a week. And it's a different, like, this little auxiliary podcast. It goes with it. It's like a little clubhouse vibe. They just want that. And they want to support the regular show. And that was something that 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been ready. I would have felt weird about it for whatever reason, just my own stupid shit. I'd be like, well, no, you're supposed to do a show. And then, you know, there's a different route. And then I realized there's no rules. I kept thinking about that. I didn't hear him say this to me, but Rory Scovel, really funny comic, somebody told me, they were asking him advice. And he was like, who told you there were rules? And I needed to hear that. And I was
there's
like,
no rules.
There's no fucking rules. And it's this thing now where they have changed our life. Like, you know, like less than 6,000 fans over, you know, total that do that have changed our whole life. They allowed us to hire a couple people. They allowed us to have a studio. They allowed us to buy equipment to take chances on other shows. And now that's where all of my energy is. And it's just, and what's weird now is now people are wanting to do auditions and things that I don't even want to do.
I don't want to do.
Because I'm like, no, I got this. I got my thing. This is what I want. Yeah.
This is it. No,
it's beautiful.
It's been great for comedians. It's a wonderful time to be an artist. Let's just say it's a wonderful time to be an artist. And if you're thinking about it, I'll tell you, you have no fucking excuse.
Yeah, your phone has everything now. You can edit videos. You can shoot videos in 4K. You can do all that stuff.
You can electrify yourself with that fucking thing. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
You can do that closing bit where you smash your fucking dick fucking in front dick, of the audience the with your phone. Everything's right there.
Any date you got?
You can shove it up your ass. You can light it on fire. yeah, the happy murder tour that we call it. But the dates, throughout the rest of the year. I can't remember.
What's your website?
DanCummins.tv.
Okay. No,
they're all on there.
No Dave Chappelle shit. I don't have
I can't pull that off.
Website.
I can't pull that off. If I fucking took everything down, people would stop seeing me.
That is the craziest thing that I've ever heard in my life before.
I know we got to stop, but the Dave Chappelle, I don't know, this might be a myth, but since just talking about mystique of Dave Chappelle, I heard this story. I don't know why they would lie if it wasn't true, but they said that Dave Chappelle was in Portland, Oregon, and he went down to a park with like a little portable speaker and a mic. This is like a couple years after the Chappelle show went away. And just started in some kind of, maybe there was like a speaker's day where people were kind of like a Hyde Park situation. But anyway, just started doing, telling stories. And within like an hour, there was over 1,000 people that had just gathered around to fucking witness it. And then he just fucking like a weird Pied Piper. But I used to hear stories. That was the weirdest story I heard. I wasn't there. Don't know if it was true, but I love the mystique. I love what he shows, talking about comics holding hands earlier. It's just so cool to see what one person can accomplish through comedy. And what he's doing right now, it's like magical.
And you cheer for him.
Yes.
It's not like other comics that have had success and you know they're scumbags.
No, this guy.
I think they're pulling the wool over people's eyes.
Nope. He's a real deal.
Kevin Hart's the real deal.
Oh, that's great.
You know, there's a lot. Russell Peters is a
Yes.
You know, we're living in a society, you know, I guess because of the, but they have nothing to be angry about.
Right,
these guys,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I wish him all the luck in the world.
Yeah, man, really me too. Dave me Chappelle. Too.
It made me so happy to watch, especially the other night, and cheer and laugh.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
That's when you know you're a comic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tonight
thank you, Joy.
At the motherfucking store.
Yes.
8 o'clock. Dan Cummins.
Smashing his dick.
Smashing his fucking
lighting
dick.
On fire.
Don't forget, the 13th of September, I am in Dallas. There's a few tickets left. San Antonio sold out on the 14th. And I got the Chicago Theater on the 27th. Tremendous fucking show. That's it and that's that. Oh, shit. Hold on. I got to do a little word from our sponsors. First off, number one. Listen, fall is here. All right, it's over. The summer's done after this weekend, and it's time to be a fucking gentleman. The holidays are coming, and everybody wants to have a wife or a girlfriend. Nobody wants to be alone. So it's time you clean your bumper before you get your tailpipe sucked, all right? My friends over at Manscaped created the only tool you need to shave your balls and the area around the love stick. It's called the Lawnmower 2.0 for a reason. They threw away the 1.0. They upgraded their trimmer with the skin-safe technology. No more stressing. If you have your wife trim your ball hairs and you got to fucking pray to God that she don't miss and she's not in a bad mood, those days are over with, all right? And for you momos in the back, that means you won't nick or snag your nutsack. Plus, it's perfect for travel. Just in case you like doing that shit when there's nobody around, picking your leg up behind your neck and shaving that area between your nutsack and your asshole called the Stink Festival. Manscaped does it all. You understand me? And you could do it one-handed. Even if you have a little hoof with a fucking hook, you can still use Manscaped and get your fucking schlong looking shiny. This is the first time you've considered manscaping. They got a deal for you, all right? It's called the Perfect Package. It comes with a lawnmower and a safety razor plus the crop preserver, a specially formulated deodorant so your balls don't stink, and the reviver. It comes in a little package. Let's just pretend you bump into a blowjob. You take it out of the package, you wipe your nutsack in the helmet, you clean all the goo around the fucking bottom of the base, and she sucks your dick, and it's like a mint fucking lifesaver in their mouth. Who else does that for you? But Manscaped. That's what the perfect, and with the perfect package, you get a pouch, all right? And your pole will be perfect. What the fuck are you waiting for? This is the deal of a lifetime. The Church family gets 20% off your first order when you use promo code CHURCH at manscaped.com. And if you order the perfect package, they also throw in the free travel bag when you use code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H. That's manscaped.com. Use promo code CHURCH for 20% off your first order. And keep your balls clean. The Church is also brought to you by Hymns. ForHymns.com. Listen to me. We got problems. We're losing our hair. Our erections aren't working like they used to. You know, we're getting older. What you need to do is help. And it's here for you with Uncle Joey. With age comes wisdom. But when you get older, there could also be a downer in one specific area. 40% of men by the age of 40 struggle for not being able to maintain an erection. Why the fuck would you go to a liquor store and buy, like, big dick pills and injections when no man wants an injection? Listen, right now, we can help you out. You don't have to go to a doctor and share your experiences with them and be embarrassed. Be wise. Check out Hims. Go to 4hims.com, a one-stop solution for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness. Hims connects you with real licensed doctors and FDA-approved pharmaceutical products to treat ED. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help combat your little problems. Prescription solutions backed by science and made more affordable. See the results where other treatments fall short. No painful injections, no doctor visits, nothing. Answer a couple questions about your medical history, chat with a doctor, and it's over. If you're approved by the doctor, the products are shipped directly to your door. It's erectile dysfunction without being a dysfunction. It's hard made easy. Say hello to my little friend. So, try Hims for a month for just $5. You like Joey? What the fuck are you talking about? $5! We'll get you started for $5 while supplies last. Prescription products are subject to doctor's approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details. This could cost you hundreds if you went to a doctor in person. Uncle Joey's here to save the day, all right? Go to 4hims.com/church, C-H-U-R-C-H. That's 4hims.com/church. I want to thank 4hims. I want to thank Manscaped. I want to thank fucking Onnit. I want to thank ZipRecruiter. And I want to thank my bookie AG for being great sponsors this week. But most importantly, I want to thank you guys for following the podcast, supporting us, and always being fucking family to us. So without further ado, have a happy weekend. Don't forget to follow Dan Cummings. Where at?
Dan Cummings Comedy or Time Suck or, yeah.
No, what's the name of
the website, dancummings.tv.
Dancummings.tv. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Don't get bit by a shark and get your dick sucked. I'll leave you with that. Lee, kick this fucking meal. That's it. Oh. We'll be right back.
you'll find love. Don't forget, son, there is someone. Go. Oh, that's me.